Hey, Sister Amon. Where are we parked tonight?
In a parking lot.
Yeah, we are once again. I have a question for you.
What?
Hope you're all doing well. We're coming to you with our edification audio. You like van life?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I like it because it's a harder life than living in a house. And to be harder, it means it brings you closer to the Lord because it strips a lot of your flesh away. And we can be out on the streets to share his truth more.
Yeah, we're out in the world here, and we meet all kinds of people. You'll hear about a story.
Oh,
By us traveling and sleeping in parking lots and being out here in the world, we meet all kinds of people. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today.
Yeah.
Glad you could join us today. We hope that you're all doing well.
Yeah, praise God.
Today was a day of lots of ministry for sure.
Right. This
day, the day was a blur.
I know.
Brothers calls, witnessing, hearing about witnessing. I was on the phone a lot.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and I like that. Uh-huh. What a problem to have.
Yeah,
brothers and sisters to encourage, and then seekers that want to talk about the things of God. So that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, one exciting thing, a little bit unusual. This happens quite often. But anyway, we were hearing witnessing audios from other brothers and some sisters about them out in the streets witnessing to people today.
Yep.
Well, they were taking a walk with some of their children and they were out witnessing. And that was pretty interesting, wasn't it, Sister Amon?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's always good to hear the saints sharing the truth of God.
We got to help them with some tips, some things that we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd just cover that real quick. Three, like, witnessing tips. Well, three or four. Maybe five. Always stay focused on the gospel.
Yep.
Send away mockers and people don't want to hear truth and they argue a lot. Send them away. Speak gospel truth to those who listen. So that's people that just have ears and they're listening to what you're telling them by letting you talk. So remember that word listen. So if they're listening, speak truth to them. Speak even more gospel truth to those that listen and seem to hear and it goes deep.
Right.
And they go, yeah, you're right about that. My church is lying. Or, yeah, that is a pagan holiday. So speak more to those people. That's who you're looking for, the seekers.
Right.
And then always be doctrinal. Obviously, you want to be doctrinally sound, but always be spirit-led. What do I mean by that, Sister Amon?
Well, that would mean that if you're walking in the spirit, not the flesh, you're going to be speaking, obviously, the things of God. And it could be easy to try to follow somebody else's pattern, somebody else's way of witnessing, and try to copy or imitate them, which could be good if you get some points and tips from it, but it's not a black and white thing, and every situation is different.
Yeah.
So, sisters, as you're witnessing, obviously, like Brother Tupo said, it's always going to be the foundation of the gospel.
Right.
That's never
going to
change.
And always doctrinal truth.
Yep, and truth. And so I guess I'm not really sure exactly where you're going.
And you're right. And within that, what we want to be when it comes to witnessing is we don't want to be man-led. Mm-hmm. We want to be spirit-led.
Right.
So men can train us. Men can give us tips. They can give us insights. But we definitely want to be spirit-led because the Spirit's going to give us things to say that each individual person may need to hear.
Right. Yeah, because I know there are times when I'm witnessing, you know, Brother Tupo says, well, we could talk about this or this in that situation, and I take it to heart and think about it for the next one, and same with him, and we can always examine ourselves. But yeah, if you think about it, the Holy Spirit is the one, if you're walking in the Spirit, it's going to give you the words to say, sisters. And I know as us women are watching and listening and following the lead of the men on how they witness and how they train others and stuff, it's good to follow the example and get the tips and everything from them or from sister to sister, but always go to the Lord and allow him to lead you. And
right.
Like we said, every situation is different. There's no black and white. You can't just go out there and say the same things like people like Ray Comfort does. He does the same thing every single time.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a heretic,
and
by
he's
the way.
A heretic. I used him because almost everybody knows how he goes out there and does his
Ten Commandments.
He does almost the same thing every single time, and it's not like spirit-led. You got to move with the Spirit.
Yeah, he has a formula to tickle people's itchy ears with his trivia contest.
Mm-hmm.
We just go out and preach the gospel and try to draw people with the truth of God by the Spirit of God. And so, I mean, I can teach you things, but the Holy Spirit is the real teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And men can give you tips on how to witness, but you want to be Spirit-led. And then God uses everybody differently. They're different gifts, they're different talents, they're different ways. So we definitely want to encourage people to be unique. You're a unique individual. Make sure you're being who you are in Christ, but being in truth.
Yeah, and you know what we've noticed throughout the years? Well, I know I have, and I know you're probably going to agree with it. Is it seems that God always sends people to you just like you need at that time to sharpen you, or maybe somebody, if you're a mild person, that he sends a mild person. Not always.
Yeah.
But we've noticed that, you know, when we're with new people who are, or people who are new to the faith and just learning, we watch how the witnessing happens in the beginning. It's like, oh, that was perfect. Just perfect for that person, their personality, what they just went through. And he lines it all up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, trust in the Father and he'll guide you and all that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to share 1 Timothy 4:15-16. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt save both yourself and them that hear thee. So yeah, preach sound doctrine. Preach the gospel. Don't get far from the gospel. And then, yeah, definitely be Spirit-led and always asking the Father to improve you. It's good to audio tape yourself and then let people critique you. That's definitely helpful, but make sure that you want to use it and always be Spirit-led and not be trying to imitate or copy someone else.
Right, and we're all learning. None of us have fully attained yet. We're always going to learn. We might trip. We might stumble, even if you've been doing it many, many years.
Oh, yeah. Amen. You know? Amen. So that's a good thought about witnessing, and we all want to do that. It's a mandate. It's a command to go and preach the gospel. Everyone should be able to share the gospel with other people, whether you're a street preacher or a housewife. Everyone should be ready. And it was a blessing day today to hear a young woman preach the gospel with boldness and eagerness and zeal. That was awesome.
Amen.
I was blessed by it, so that was awesome. What's on your heart today, Sister Amen?
Oh, well.
Going right to you.
Speaking of women, I was just thinking about this. Consistency in child discipline.
Ah.
Sister and brother have two little ones that we know when they're very little. Well, even when they get older,
they can have their own will.
Yeah, there's lots of discipline that's needed. Yep. Constant, continuous, and it can really wear a person down. So I'm just going to cheer on the mothers out there and the fathers too, but mainly the mothers, because sister to sister, to hold fast on that consistency, because you're only going to get one lifetime with them.
And it goes by
lifetime,
fast.
What I mean is until they either leave the house or whatever, you know, till they're of age.
Till they're adults.
Yeah, till they're adults. Thank you. And so you only get one time at it. So you want to be consistent and make sure that you're doing what the Lord would have you do. And I thought I would let the Lord's word just speak here. I'm going to read three scripture verses for you in regards to child training and discipline. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him.
Yeah.
Pretty much
says that says it all. Yeah.
Now, hold on for the last one, but here's one in between. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
Yeah.
Right? How many times we see unruly children?
Yeah, you left to themselves means you don't break their will while they're little, and they end up having a stubborn, rebellious will. And guess what, Mom and Dad? They're not only going to rebel against you. Who are they going to rebel against, Sister Amen?
Against God,
because
if they get to hold on to their will when they're little, for Mom and Dad or anybody else or whatever, they're going to be holding on to it for against God too. So I'm going to leave us with this one on this topic. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful.
It is pretty powerful, and it is about, it's not physical abuse. It is instruction, and when they're young, when you break their will when they're young, the instruction needs to be less and less as they get older.
Yeah.
So pain brings them to their senses sometimes.
Well, don't we see that? You know, and oftentimes the pain for us as being older can be heartache pain, anguish pain, guilt pain, you know, from not being obedient, not stepping up when we should, not pushing forth, things like that.
Yeah, so it can be a very trying, but I found when raising children, I found that if you're very disciplined and you don't bend the rules and you hold fast, they will know what to expect. When you let down your guard or when you soften up or you change the rules, they don't know what to expect and they always are pressing them. So it's right. Really, really good that you give them, because guess what? When they grow up and you're going to pass them off to God's word and God's ways, his words are very diligent. They don't bend.
Right. I was just going to say that. Yeah. Go ahead.
And so we got to make sure that we don't bend our ways and compromise, because they're not going to find that in God's word. God's word says what it says and expects us to obey it. And there's harsh consequences if we don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's called eternal separation and suffering, weeping and gnashing of teeth. We want to show children a harsh consequence while they're old enough to mold them. And then you can pass them off to God's truth and they're ready in a fit vessel to take on the truth of God and obey it.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, the parent-to-child relationship, keep this in mind, is kind of like an archetype of the adult person relationship with God, the Father, who's going to be doing the same thing,
right.
Chastising us, rebuking
and
us.
And it can be painful.
Disciplining us. Definitely.
Yeah, it can definitely be painful. Good topic.
Good work, sisters. Keep pressing on. I encourage you.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Strive on and obey the word. And the Lord will give you your wisdom you need in that.
And the strength you need to keep doing it, because your labor is not in vain.
Amen. Amen. Mm. I just told some brothers that.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Sister Amon, I have a question for you. This is an easy one.
Oh, okay, good.
What happened when you walked into Walmart today?
Oh, that was funny. So I walk up to Walmart and I see these two interesting looking men sitting there. Maybe Brother Tupos will go into more detail or whatever. But I walked by him and I kind of hesitated for a minute. And I saw a little sign there that said something about, I can't remember what that said.
The sign said, my wife said, me or the dog.
Oh, yeah.
And he's sitting there with his dog.
Yeah, and I saw that, and I kind of smiled a little bit, and I walked off a little ways, and I called Brother Tupos right away, because he was in the van, and I was in the store. I mean, I could turn around and see the van.
Yeah, these guys are right by the door.
Yeah, yeah. And so I called him, and I told him the situation, and I said, do you want me to just go give them a gospel card, see if they need any food or anything, or did you want to? And he said, well, since they're right up there and right in front by the door, go ahead. So there's like a 1 minute audio in front of Brother Tupos, you know, kind of sets it up. And I gave him a gospel card, said something about, you know, if they were hungry. I was going to explain the gospel to him, but when I asked him if they wanted me to, they just kind of looked at me, and it was a little bit of an odd situation. Yeah. And it was two men and stuff. If it was women, I would have had no problem with it. And right. I probably could have went forward, but in God's timing, it worked out awesome. Cause then, I told him I would call Brother Tupos and ask him to bring, you know, come up there and talk to them and see if they need anything. And so,
And I did that. And I walked up and I had, you'll hear a 16-minute audio. It's up on the edification page. And they listened and they thought it was, one guy said, that's pretty cool. And I shared the whole gospel with them. I gave them, I reminded them of our website. And I just walked them through the gospel and I talked to them how stay away from the churches, and they agreed. And they thought that how I presented it was clear and concise and they could understand. And they said they went on the internet so they could check it out. They were just, they're drifters. They thought it was cool that we're nomads. Mm-hmm. The man said, him and his wife were separated. He said, but we live in a school bus. So they live in a school bus. I said, yep, we're nomads. And I said, this is what I travel to do. And so they thought that was nice. And I shared with them. I said, thanks for listening. I said, you guys didn't get mad or call the police on me. They're like, no, man, you're cool. I said, the modern pastors and the churchgoers call the police on me and don't want to beat me up. And they go, yeah, they call the police on us all the time, too. So it's one of those stories of the, like the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee thinks he's all that, like the modern pastor and the churchgoer. And the guy that's in a gutter is more down to earth. And I told them, you'll hear it on the audio. I said, you got sin that you got to work out. You got to repent and leave it. But I said, take heart. I said, people like you may be closer to the kingdom of God than the modern pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of looked and smiled at me and they're like, hey, I like that. Yeah, that may be true. So
it gives them hope. Because
I didn't condemn them for their lifestyle. I warned them. They said they work. I warned them that they can't not work and that God calls that being a sluggard and lazy and all that. So yeah, there was a really good witnessing audio.
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Amon, as usual, setting them up for me. She goes out and finds them and meets them sometimes, and then she sets them up and I follow up. So
God does it all.
Yeah, we make a good team, and they were edified and was able to bless them with something, and it turned out awesome.
Yeah. Praise God. That was awesome. Just going about our daily life in the busyness.
So check out that audio and you can listen to it. Today we had a call. I had a call with a brother, and this brother is striving to find on a consistent basis peace and joy in his daily walk, because sometimes it can elude us, even as born-again saints. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that, Sister Amin? Peace and joy as a believer.
Well, I guess I'll just say that when I was first born again, I had a tremendous thankfulness, and the peace and joy came with that for all the wickedness that was forgiven of me and washed. But there have been times throughout our walk that sometimes you have to look a little harder for that peace and the joy, because the flesh rises up, whether it's...
Or the enemy attacks.
Yeah, trials and struggles, or great losses, or great hurt and pain, you know, from people who might hurt you, or things like that, you know, and you just have to keep pressing through some of those dark times. And you can have that peace. You just have to go to the Lord and lay it down.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a constant thing. And I guess I would say, for me, I guess I've continuously had it pretty much, but there could be instances where people, we all come from a different background.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we're all a new creation in Christ, sisters, but...
And we're all different in our mind and our ways and our character and our nature and our experiences.
And how we can, well, and our walk, too.
Yeah.
You know, the first year, two, three could be really hard for some people. Maybe the first year is like the only part where people have a hard time. Some people may take longer to get to certain places and stuff. So we just have to be... Here's one thing I had to tell myself. Number one, I had to forgive myself of everything I did, because if the Lord forgave me, I held on to unforgiveness of myself for a while, and that caused me great turmoil for the first year, maybe two.
That's kind of idolatry. If God forgives you, how can you not forgive yourself?
I had to work really hard to lay all that down, because I hated myself even before I was in Christ, and I hated myself afterwards, but I really, really tried, and he helped me get through that.
Yeah.
And I forgot what the other point was.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of stumbling blocks that people put up, and their flesh, letting go of the past, comparing themselves to others. There's just all kinds of reasons that we all can use to not have the peace and the joy. So this brother and I are going to go through the scriptures and talk about peace and joy, and I'm going to assure him that the Father wants him to have ongoing, on a regular basis, peace and joy. And so it's just a good topic for us all to think about. Christ said, I come that you may have peace. And we know that joy, kara, is that inner calm and peace that the Holy Spirit gives us. And we definitely can have that. But it is something we have to seek. Christ tells us to seek it and to draw near to God and be diligent. So we have a part in this, getting this, acquiring it. It reminds me of the guy that goes out and buys the piece of land or the pearl of great price. They didn't sit around and do nothing. They went out and pursued it.
Right.
And they gave up everything to get it.
Yeah.
So how much are we willing to give up to go and get this peace and this joy?
Right, yeah. You can't bring anything with you. And if you try to bring it with, God's not going to give you what you're looking for. You got to lay it all down.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that with a brother. And then you got to listen into this, Sister Amin. So we had a brother's call, and there was a man. You've met this man many times.
It brings me great joy.
We met this man street preaching 2 years ago. Uh-huh. And then we met him street preaching at the same event this year.
Right.
And I actually got to witness to this man's father.
Yeah.
And tragically, his father's no longer alive. That's a whole other story. And then today, he wanted to go on a video call with all the brothers.
Yeah.
And so they all got to meet him, and we talked for, I don't know, an hour and a half.
Yeah, something like that.
And I think he was greatly encouraged by it. The brothers were encouraged by it. And what did you learn from that, Sister Amin, or what stood out about that call? With, I would call him a seeker. He claims he's born again. No reason to believe he's not. He just came out of evangelicalism not long ago. He sees the lies and he wants to go deeper. But what did you learn from that?
Well, what I saw was a young man that was blessed by God to get truth given to him last year, this year, and then again, and then now, from not just one person, or to see both of our lives, but from several or many brothers. I don't know, several versus many. I always mess that up.
Yeah.
A handful of brothers, and the consistent truth and the encouragement that was given to him. And
there was four of us on with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just thought that was, I think a lot of that truth is sinking in, and I'm going to pray that he go forth with it. And yeah. I saw a lot of love from the brothers to try to help him and bring him along and warn him and tell him about the cost.
Yeah. I saw a young man who's struggling because he's had a lot of loss.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm praising God because God put him right where I think he needs to be. He said he sees that we're teaching truth and hardly anybody's teaching the full truth and calling people out and all that. So he just has to decide if that's what he wants and if he wants that accountability and all that. So we really hope and pray that he does because we care for his soul. I'm glad, two things, really glad. One, he came to talk to the brothers and got to see other men. And then two, I saw brothers step up.
Yeah.
And I saw men speak the word of God. And I saw men, I didn't even have to be there. It was awesome. Those men would be able to take that phone call and handle it and preach the word of God and give them the oracles of God. Why? Because they've been studying. We've been sharpening on each other. They know what they're supposed to do. They're spirit led. They've given up their lives. So that brought me great joy to see. These are young men. They're all about 30 and under.
Mm-hmm.
To see them and new in the faith, but to see God raising them up to be able to edify someone else and do it selflessly. Both of them worked two big long shifts of work, and they were on the phone edifying this man right after that. So I just see that, and it brings me great joy to see men serving the Lord that way.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah. That's awesome.
They know the word, and they're using their Hebrews 4 sword in a very good way. It glorifies God.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, so that was definitely awesome.
Very encouraging.
Yeah.
I'll pray for that young man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, pray for that young man that he'll come to acknowledgement of the truth.
And if I could just add, I had a point here. It kind of goes along with what we're talking about here during that discussion.
Yeah.
I thought this was really interesting. One of the brothers said, you know, because you're talking about counting the cost to follow.
Yeah.
And he brought up the point about counting the cost of not following.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a good angle.
That is a good angle.
And I was going to read just one verse that would give us a major view of what the cost is of not following. Luke 13:28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. I have a hard time even reading that last sentence.
Terrifying.
Like, it is, yeah.
That's the one about the man that's in hell, and he says, touch my tongue with water, and it's so hot here. And he says, go tell somebody, have somebody go back from the dead and tell my five brothers not to come here. And Abraham says, they got the prophets. They got the word of God. If they don't listen to that, they're not going to believe anybody that comes back from the dead.
Oh, I know
that tells you better believe in the word of God.
Oh, I know. And it brings to life, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And if the righteous scarcely saved, what about the ungodly? Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So that talk we had with the brothers and this young man on there listening, he's a young man himself, under 25. It was awesome to see someone seeking the things of God. What are we seeing, Sister Amma? A lot of young people.
Oh, I know.
The it's old wonderful. People that are 40 and over, they're like, I got my own life, and they just throw it to the ditch. But we see these young people, God's opening their eyes and their ears, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We read him 1 Corinthians 1:10. I said, notice how we all speak. It's not because I brainwash these men. It's because they see what's in the Word of God, and the Spirit's rising up in them. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How does that happen, Sister Amen?
Well, by the study of the word, well, everybody's united on the foundation of Christ in the gospel.
And it all comes from the...
the Holy Spirit through the scriptures. Amen.
Yeah, so that's a joyous thing to think about, the unity. We always talk about one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one Word, one body. We don't need 40,000 denominations. That's foolishness.
Yeah.
We need to all be speaking the same things, and we can get there. So.
Right.
Anything else, Sister Amen?
I do have another point I was thinking about during that discussion.
Well, share it away.
I will. You know, as you listen in on the dividing of the word and the sharing and encouragement.
Like the Ecclesia gathering?
Yeah. And I'll just say, in this particular case, listening to the men edify this young man, when a topic would come up and everybody was discussing it, I don't know, I was just thinking, this is me, something, maybe I'm going to share this so my sisters can hear it and not feel bad. You know, when a topic comes up, maybe you do this, and I think in my mind, I think of certain things that I would say if it was me answering the question, and then you hear something from another one that you go, oh, I didn't even think of that
one. That's a good scripture.
Yeah, and you know what? There was a couple of them that went on tonight, and I was like feeling really bad going, wow, how come I didn't even think of that? I totally forgot about that one. And I started feeling bad and like beating myself up about it. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. We can't remember everything.
Yeah, there's many angles to it. There's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say.
Yeah, right.
There's more than one way to preach.
I was just kind of thinking about that you don't want to feel bad about it. What I told myself was, I was like, wow, hey, I was just edified by that verse again.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't remember everything.
Right.
And like we talked about before, when you're witnessing and stuff, we need to be led by the Spirit.
Right.
So maybe one person is given something to say and not every single scripture verse that pertains to it.
Right, yeah.
And so I don't know.
Because all scripture moves people differently. You may read a scripture that you just read and go over it and go to another scripture. A brother or sister reads it, and that's the scripture they jump on, and it means something to them, and they use it, and you didn't use it, and then you go, well, that's a good one. And it's all based upon our perception, our experiences, how the Spirit quickens us to certain things.
Right, yeah, and we don't even want to have any kind of comparing ourselves or anything. Not that I sit here and compare and measure myself, but
we just want to learn from each other.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to rejoice when something gets brought to mind, not make ourselves feel bad if maybe we didn't think of something.
Yeah, what we're always doing is looking to improve. We're looking to glorify God, and also we're looking to test each other.
Because
if you hear somebody speak something that's unbiblical, you want to make sure you help them.
Right.
And so we're always doing that. But yeah, not to compare, definitely not to compete.
No.
This isn't about who's better. Remember, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? The disciples were arguing. I don't want to be that. I always tell people I want to be just the janitor. If God lets me into the kingdom of God, I'll be the janitor and I'll do the cleanup work for everybody. That's all I care about.
Right.
Just get me in.
Yeah, so we just rejoice to be who the Lord has created us to be and keep striving on to the best that we can.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Do you have a scripture verse to share with us today?
Because
I have one long scripture verse that I think is going to bless everybody when I read this.
Okay.
I know it's going to bless my wife, Sister Amen, but I think it'll bless all the rest of you. It's kind of a faith-building scripture verse. So.
Ooh, yay.
But yeah, you go ahead and share yours.
Oh, okay. John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I love that last part. He shall be in you. Wow, what a
Spirit
precious gift.
We are the temple, 1 Corinthians 6.
Oh,
temple
I know.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, I'm going to end us with a section of scripture. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be faith building, and it's from the book of Job.
Oh, yay.
Ready? Job 1:12-22. Consider this. Consider this man Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put no forth thine hand. So God tells Satan, you can do anything you want with him. Just can't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Can't kill him. You can cover him with boils and everything. But you just can't kill Job. But everything he's got is fair game. Go test him. And so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and only I escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and has burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and only I have escaped to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans have made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and only I escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men and they were dead. And only I escaped alone to tell thee. You get this? What's going on here? His servants, his animals, his children killed and gone. verse 20, 21 and 22. Then Job arose, rent his mantle. That's like a long cloak or mantle that went over his tunic. Shaved his head, fell upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, get this, saints. He said, naked came out of my mother's womb I. Naked shall I return hither. The Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Just let that soak in for a second. You think you've had a bad day? You think I've had a bad day, Sister Amon? This guy lost virtually everything. And he rents his clothes or whatever, shaves his head, gets down to worship God, and basically says, it's not your fault, God.
Yeah.
And he still worship God. I just wanted to read that to give us an idea of what real, humble, meek, lowly faith looks like. Job learned he just the clay. Yeah. God's the potter. And he was willing to submit himself to whatever God allowed because he knew that God must have had an ultimate purpose in it all, and it all was for God's glory.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Any thoughts on that, Sister Amon?
Yeah, well, I would say that every true blood-bought saint that we know is going to go through pretty much the same thing. You may lose your house. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your friends. You may have to leave everything behind. Kind of the same kind of
and
story.
And that phone call we just had with that young man, I said, how many of us, as the brothers, raise your hand, and this young man's watching on a video call. I said, brothers, how many of us has lost careers, mothers, fathers, children, friends, reputation, everything for the cause of Christ? And all four of us raised our hands.
Yeah.
And I said, my wife's here too. Her hand's risen too. And he just looked and we said, it costs much to follow Christ. The gift is free, but the cost to lose your old life is much and great to come follow him.
Right.
And so Job learned that. And in the end, it was all glorifying to God. Job was restored. And so, yeah, go read the book of Job sometime. You ever think your life is bad? You go read the book of Job, and you'll come out of reading the book of Job going, I could do this. If you're a believer,
oh,
I'm talking about. I could do this.
I love that.
Yeah, so I wanted to read that, and I hope that edifies and encourages everybody about growing their faith, even through any trials and tribulations.
Yeah, certainly not situational worship, is
amen,
it?
Amen, amen. Yeah. Anything else, Sister Amon?
Oh, no, that was, I think you wrapped that up really good with that.
Yep.
That's a good pondering.
That is true saint, true faith, saints, and let us all strive to have that accordingly for God's glory and so that we can be a witness to each other and that we can live out our faith perfectly so one day we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what Job was doing.
Right, yeah, look at the witness that was. It's a good strength and witness for us. How about us for them, like you were just saying?
Yeah.
For anybody else.
And I will say this, Job realized something very, very, he had great wisdom in this. Ready? Everything Job lost, he knew he had to leave it all one day anyway in death.
Right.
Think about that. And it's like anything I've ever given up, I can't take it with me. The only thing I can take with me is I can help some of my brothers and sisters make it to the kingdom. That's it. Out of this life, that's the only thing I could ever hope to take. And that's all I want to take.
Right.
That's an awesome thing. So thanks for listening. We hope that edifies you. I hope all of this teaching, scripture, concepts, experiences, I hope it helps you do one thing. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then what will he do, Sister Amon?
He'll lift you up.
He'll lift you up.
Lift us up.
Yep. Peace and joy to you all. We love you. Till next time. Maybe we get to come to you again one more day.
Maybe. I hope so. And if not, strive on, Sister Saints.
You too, brothers, and you seekers, repent and obey the gospel.
And we're here to help.
God be praised.